Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle, and this is my friend and colleague, Alfonso Rachel, and this is the Virtue Signal made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com. And Zoe, on this episode, I thought we might see if we could get down to some not even so much practical ideas as strategic ideas. So I think for this show, I think we'd like to call this Now What? Where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. Right? We know that there's a full court press against not only our values, but against reality, sanity. Mm. It's just simply unbelievable things that we see out there. Mm. So what do you think we ought to do? Not only just you and me, but what do you think we should do as a nation of, 200 million patriots who are being led around by a very small group of very loud people, and none of us seem to know how to stop it?
Indeed, man. It's finding out what your strengths are, realizing what your weaknesses are. The Word of God tells us that we've been endowed to be certain things: teachers, philanthropists, innovators, whether you're an employee or whether you're a person starting a business. The Word of God talks about these things, and these things that you've been given to do. And you want to be, in everything that you do, you want to be a ministry. Ministry as in you want a service, right?
And that's a good point.
Right? It's in these things that you do, you want to inspire people. There should be something about you in the things that you do where you do it, with such efficiency, and you do it with such ease where people look at it and they look at your character and how you do it, and it makes them curious. It's like, what is it about you, man? You've got this peace about you. You've got this joy in you that does these things. And even when the Word of God talks about fasting, right? It's this, this deliberate, depriving of yourself. And the Lord says, man, don't be, fasting and stuff like that, and then go among your friends and looking all tired and weak and be like, oh man, I'm fasting and stuff like that. It's like, no, you gotta be able to show up and still have that glow and that you're ready to go. That's, the Lord encourages us to do that. And right now, Bill, we feel like we're being deprived. We feel like we've been beaten down. It's like, it's almost like feels like you're fasting. It's like you're deprived of these nutrients. Something's been taken out of your soul. And, these are things that we have to still be able to stand up and just say, hey, okay, well, what now what? What do we got? Give me your best shot. What's the next thing that you guys are going to do? So, the Word tells us, be innovative, make a new song, right? Gird up. And you got to know how to look at what the children of the age are doing. This is what the Word of God says. It's a strange thing that a lot of people don't understand when the Word of God is talking about the dishonest manager. And he gave props to the dishonest manager, because the dishonest manager in this lesson, he's saying, you've got to learn how to use what the children of the age are doing, not for their purposes, but use their tools. And if you don't have these kind of propensities to do that, know who does and support them, right? So it's, yep, we should be a supportive community of each other to recognize each other's strengths and be able to exalt each other, not self-exalting, exalt each other, right? Build each other up. Say, you've got a talent to do this. You've got a business to do that, and so on and so forth. And make sure that that we're lifting each other up in service. For me, it's in service of the Lord. It's like, look, I'm not here to glorify myself. My objective is to make him glorified, right? So in doing that, that's one of the things that keeps me going, and how I'm able to, that's one of the reasons why they don't want me doing this stuff, is because they know when people hear this stuff, they get curious and say, well, let me see who this Jesus cat is, man. I've heard some other things. I want to find out who he is for myself. They don't want to find that out. Because when they start realizing that Jesus is who he says he is, not according to what anybody else says, but according to what he says he is, that's a whole different thing. And I really want to impress that upon the listeners. This isn't about looking for courage in the Bible. It's not looking for some sort of prosperity. It's not looking for acceptance or anything about that. It's not what the Bible is. It's about realizing who Jesus has always said he is. Once you got that, everything falls into place. But a lot of people aren't taught that. They're taught that the Bible is to teach you how to be moral and taught you prosperity. It's like, no. The morality comes in as the Lord builds it when you start seeing who He is. It's a whole different thing when people start to see who He is. And that's what they don't want people to see.
Yeah, I think that's really an interesting point, because when everything that you love and believe is under attack, mm-hmm. as it is now, the natural inclination is just to kind of hunch your shoulders, you know, and it's like, you know, you're getting the living daylights pounded out of you in the ring, and you just kind of want to, you know, just want to put your gloves up and, mm-hmm. and protect your face, mm-hmm. and just to hope for, you know, pray for the bell to ring.
Yeah.
But that is tempting, and it's a natural reaction. But if I understand you correctly, it's times like these where optimism and confidence get you the most bang for the buck. This is the time really for just plain open optimism and a happy warrior sort of mm-hmm, promotion mm-hmm. of the alternative to the things that are punching us in the face every time. I did a segment not too long ago about how all we do is use the stick and we never use the carrot. Mm-hmm. And one of the carrots is just plain, it's just plain kind of optimism and confidence and a sense of fun. I mean, each individual person can become an example of a better life than the life that they're trying to you know, force down our throats. Mm. And that doesn't even really require proselytizing so much as just this kind of a calm happiness and having the strength to resist the temptation to just be cranky and frustrated, because God knows there's plenty of reasons for that. But this kind of confidence in the face of all of this immovability, you know, it's like, don't you worry about somebody, you know, having a problem with what you say? No, I actually don't. I don't worry about that at all. Never enters my mind. I just say what I want to say and I do what I want to do. And I'm not trying to offend people, but if they're offended, then that's really their problem. Right. These kind of statements, either just through verbal statements or through behaviors, now is the time for these things more than any time. Now is when people look at like the media and the lies and all of it, and they think that this kind of despair is sort of a byproduct of the lies that the media tells on a daily basis. It's not a byproduct. It's the product. Mm-hmm. That's what they're selling. It's why they're there. Mm-hmm. They're there now in order to demoralize people. And so going forward, you know, if you talk about what can we do, I think the two things you can do are just, first of all, if you haven't done it already, just don't listen to the mainstream news, because all it will do is just try to knock you down. That's their purpose. And the second thing is, all of the peer pressure of social networks and, you know, I don't want to say this because people are going to call me this or going to get called a racist or whatever. If you're not exposed to that, it has no power over you. In other words, if I don't see people constantly emailing me or telling me or showing me or whatever how awful I am, then they don't get to modify my behavior, right? They don't get to use my own decency against me. And so disconnecting from these social networks, not just on a financial basis, you know, like we're going to punish them financially, but just because we know that it's a source of poison, and you kind of have to ask yourself, really, if I know that I've got this intravenous drip into my arm and I can look down and see it going into my arm every day, and I know it's poisoning me and I know it's taking my strength and just building up arsenic levels and stuff, and I don't pull it out, you kind of have to ask yourself, how complicit am I in my own unhappiness, and how complicit am I in the demise of the things that I'm trying to fight for?
And yeah, I like your analogy, man, about you know, as well as the drip analogy, but also, you know, being a martial artist, you know, I'm going to be a little partial to you know, the having your guard up. And that's what a lot of the response is, Bill, that we're dealing with. There's all this stuff coming at us. And you see a lot of, you know, patriots out there who feel like they have to put their guard up because, you know, they're taking shots. But there's a strategy to making, you know, when a person is taking, you know, is delivering shots to the face, of course they want a person to bring their guard up, because one, it's going to blind their vision where they can't really see what they're swinging back at. And two, it's going to leave their torso wide open. Right. Yep. So while they're doing that, this person, you know, the opposition is going to be taking all these body shots, and there has to be, an effective way to be able to respond. You know, we seem to be a party, a voting party of, you know, big defense and stuff like that. But it's more of a big, a party of being defensive. This kind of defensive posture that, you know, too many people take, and it's even emotionally, you know, it's a lot of emotional defensiveness and mental defensiveness.
Yeah.
Rather than, actually being practical in how we counterattack. We don't want to be on the attack. I'm not an attack oriented person. The counteroffensive though, that's a whole different story, because there has been an attack brought against us. There's an attack on our country. There's an attack on our very, the soul of the country, you know, and, you know, there has to be a way to respond to that, rather than just, you know, covering up and blinding your vision to be able to respond. And they're flanking us and they're blinding our vision in many different ways. You know, and then there's also the strategy of ignoring, you know, just ignore these people. And it's like, well, you can't really just ignore these people in the same way that you wouldn't ignore an infection. Right. You have to respond to it, not let our lives be consumed by it, not and definitely ignore their ideology. But you can't ignore that there are people causing problems. And we should have responses in place. You know, there should be, you know, templates, if you will, even I don't even mind saying templates, a ready made response or an engram of responses where we should be ready. And we shouldn't be the bad guys for responding to. I mean, remember good old days, man, where Archie Bunker could respond to this stuff and just be like, hey, man, this stuff is a bunch of nonsense. Or Fred Sanford, you know, could just be this cranky dude and say, are you, and just respond to these things where, you know, almost where like being the cranky old guy is the cool thing. I mean, come on, if they could make like a cranky old dude like Bernie Sanders hip or Joe Biden hip, which they're not hip, but what they represent is. Right. That's how they sold it on us. Surely we conservatives can do the same thing. Because last note, because here's the thing. Christianity don't need help being cool. It already is. Conservatism don't need help being cool. It already is. When you understand that, hey, these are a person's fruit. What's more cool than that? It's like, no, man, this is yours. And you have the freedom to do what you will with it. Help other people if you want to, by your own volition. Build an enterprise where you can bless people with jobs so they can take care of it. How cool is that? But the ability to be able to sell it is something that is leaving a lot to be desired.
Yeah, you bet. Fast cars, loud guns, and hot women, man. You can't sell that, you got a problem. But you're right. You know, I mean, we're fighting an ideology that is singularly without any humor or even humanity. Mm-hmm. It's a bitter, angry, envious litany of despair, and it's a philosophy of, if anybody's happy, then I'm not happy, and just the absolute destruction of any kind of peace or cooperation or anything. And the problem is that when the assault comes on as strong as it's been coming on, we tend to be, you know, we can certainly be at the very least defensive, and at other times just plain outright, you know, you can't tell us apart from them. Mm-hmm. This happy warrior thing is a really advanced state to be in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, the sense of, yeah, okay, so I'm outnumbered 10,000 to one. You know, I feel sorry for them. There's a great line from, I think it was General McAuliffe in Bastogne, when Bastogne was surrounded by the Germans. He went up to like a church spire or something, and with his binoculars looked around the entire 360-degree horizon. There were just German guns and emplacements everywhere. Mm. And he turned to his aide and he said, well, it looks like they've got us surrounded, the poor bastards. and that attitude, I think, is important. And to take the fighter analogy and to really drive it into the dirt, there are two consequences when you're on the defensive, as we are, you know, with our hands up, just trying to just stay in the fight. Mm. One of them is that if you are defending yourself to the degree where these punches that they're throwing at us aren't really landing. In other words, the gloves are taking most of that. Mm. then you are wearing the opponent down physically. They're giving you their best shot right now. Mm. And if their best shot doesn't knock us out, you've taken a lot of their strength away. Mm. But ultimately, if you can really get to this point, you realize that if you've got a fighter and one guy's just, you know, got his guard up and the other guy's just hammering him as hard as he possibly can, on and on and on, you think, my God, how can this guy take it? If then the guy who's being attacked just dances away from the ropes, puts his arms down and basically goes on as if, yeah, that's, you know, that's it. That's all you got. Then that is demoralizing to the opposition. Mm. It's demoralizing to the opposition for them to give it their best punches and have the good guys just come out and say, well, I'm still here, you know, yeah. Didn't go down. Mm-hmm. I'm not going down. There comes a point, I think, when your adversary has to think, is it possible to knock this guy out?
Yeah, demoralizing. You want to be able to do that to them where you're just taking their best shot, man, and it's having no effect. And hopefully the effect will be is that the person who is taking these shots will be catalytic, right? It's like, you're not going to change me, but somehow the other person is going to be changed.
Yeah, it's like Rocky, right? You watch Rocky just getting pounded, and he doesn't go down, right? It's not like it's not even like he's winning the fight. It's like the dignity of the fact that, no, he's not going down. Mm-hmm. And that is a win in itself.
Yes, yes. And, you know, some people will, this may remind people of, you know, kind of like the turn the other cheek. You know, if we're talking about happy warriors and stuff like that, and, you know, some people they struggle with Jesus talking about, hey, turn the other cheek. So, well, what are you saying, Jesus? Are we supposed to be complacent? Are we supposed to be abused? The Lord never told us to allow ourselves to be abused. He was actually pretty militant. But what he's saying is, you know, if a person is going to, and the actual verse is, if a person strikes you on your right cheek, and there's a reason for that, because most people are right-handed. And if a person mm-hmm. strikes you on your right cheek, that means that they struck you with their weak hand, right? It's not a threat to you, right? It's really no big deal if they struck you with their left hand. And the thing is, if you've gotten to a point where you've made this person so angry where they feel like they have to strike you, rather than you actually reasoning with them and make a compelling argument to actually start to change the way their heart and mind feels, well, then you deserve to get slapped. Right. So it's like, look, but they struck you with their weak hand. There's really no problem here. Or there's really nothing to wage and get offended and wage a big war over where it can turn into a really big mess. The Lord, even the Lord himself doesn't exactly turn the other cheek in the way that people thinks, you know, that he says, you know, because even the Lord is coming back and there's going to be enough bloodshed for the blood to come up to a horse's bridle when he does come back, because he's going to be one mean general. But, all that to say, but what's his big weapon? What's the weapon that he's going to come and destroy people with? Truth. And that's what we're supposed to be armed with. We have to be able to spit a sword of truth. I'm talking about being a flock of saber-tooths, that when we speak the truth, it is so compelling. It is done in such a way that has so much finesse and just has so much penetrating power that people just like, oh man, I felt that. Okay. And you know, a lot of times we can do that when it's one-on-one. You know, so I see that effect a lot of times. When you're dealing with the herd mentality, it's difficult to do. Nobody wants to step out of the herd. But there's going to be one who's actually going to be able to come and scatter people like just like that and blow them away as dust when he does speak this word. But in the meantime, we're supposed to occupy and get people ready for that and basically send out a warning. You're going to want to embrace this truth and to have the discernment. Have the discernment about when you're being lied to and when to recognize the truth. And that's something that really needs to be pushed, you know, especially today.
Yep. And in this kind of a fight, that's not a fight, it's not a physical fight, it's certainly not a armed conflict. We're prepared for those things. In a fight of ideas and in a fight of propaganda, and that's really all the news is anymore. Mm. It is a fight determined to wear down the other side's morale.
Yeah.
And to the degree that you feel as a conservative that these punches are just coming so fast, you just don't even know what to do about them. Mm. I think that just this is a really good way to think about it. There's nothing more demoralizing to your opposition than for him to pound you as hard as he can, and then for you to dance away from the ropes and then just kind of go, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, I can take this and let's go. Bring everything you got. I guess what I'm saying when we talk about where we're going to go from here, the hardest thing to achieve in times like this is confidence and humor and even a sense of relaxation, mm-hmm. which seems to me to be the antithesis of everything I want to feel on a daily basis. I read these stories and I just cannot believe what I'm seeing, and there are times it just winds me up. You know, it's like, no, that's what it's intended to do. So if we're looking for a way out of this mess, I think maybe the first thing is to understand the intent of the weapon that's being used against us, and then just simply stepping out of its way. If the entire purpose of all of this is to drive us just barking mad, or to get us to shut up or whatever, then just the simple ability to tell somebody to just take a hike, you know, just piss off. I don't really care what you think. People like that, they get applause, and the sense of being able to just simply be able to be happy and calm and relaxed and sort of emotionally generous is proof not only to the people that are working against us that it's not working, but it's proof to everybody else as well that unlike their philosophy, which is dependent on endless control of information, endless control of the narrative, endless control. The reason we're being, I have 185,000 subscribers on YouTube, and this video will be seen by 5,000-6,000 people, maybe. Okay, so why are they doing that? Well, they're doing that because their philosophy is so weak that any challenge to their philosophy is essentially fatal to them. And the reason we're continuing to do shows, despite all of this headwind, is because we understand that this philosophy is unbeatable, and we should be happy warriors. We got a lot to be happy warriors about. We shouldn't give up our main difference between the left, which is a sense of optimism and cheerfulness and leaving people alone and having fun. We shouldn't surrender that to the Karens by becoming that. We should. I think now more than ever, take an attitude of kind of cheerful sort of rebelliousness, you know, kind of like, yeah, I understand that all of this is supposed to make me quiet, and I understand I'm supposed to not say this and bow my head and all the rest of it. But if you think a bunch of you know, weenies kind of people that ran for student council office for 9 years in a row, if you think I'm going to change my mind or my life or my opinions or what I believe in for the likes of you, for a bunch of, you know, a bunch of neurotic freaks whose outrage is eternal. You think I'm gonna become that? Nah, you got another thing coming.
Yes.
Let's take a walk around the pond. Come back and see me in a day. You'll find the same thing. That I think is probably where I need to keep my focus.
Yes.
As things go on, you know?
Yes, yeah. And just like when you said, hey, is that the best you got? That's another reason why the Lord said, if a person strikes you on your cheek, just turn the other cheek, because that is the attitude. Is that the best you got? And when you have a person who has that kind of integrity, the other people looking at you, chances are really good they're not going to see you as the coward and the weakling. They're going to see the other person who struck you as the one who needs to step down. It's like, you might want to back off, dude, because that person looks really controlled. And that person could be like the eye of the hurricane, right? Just really calm in the center. But if you get in his way, he'll probably destroy you. So,
that's exactly right.
You know, and so the Lord himself, you know, when talk about happy warriors, man, it's like they come to arrest him. And it's like, are you Jesus? Yeah, I'm that dude. And they all fell back, right?
And yeah, because he's showing that they have no power
exactly.
over him. They have the power to arrest him, but they have no power over the essence of what he is.
Yes.
They have the power to smack him on the left side of the cheek, but that's not a knockout punch, nothing like it.
Right.
So yeah.
And that's the attitude that we're supposed to have. It's and in that, it helps, right? If we, because, you know, we got a lot of people out there, they want to be lions. But you got to be bold enough to be seen as a sheep. You have to have the humility. Because if we're just lions, then we can be pretty destructive even to each other. Lions eat their own young. But so, it's, you know, you want to make sure that you have the humility and you have the discipline to be a lion. And it takes the humility to be able to be a sheep. And the Lord himself is like, just to let you guys know. And as you can see, you know, my guys are pretty handy with a knife, right? They're ready to get into a knife fight. I've got all the confidence in the universe. I don't even need any of these guys, right? I got 12 legions of angels right now armed with hot knives and they're ready to get down. Okay. I want you guys to be aware of who you're arresting. Right. And the only reason why you can arrest me is because I'm going to let you. Now, a lot of people will think that, well, Peter was a coward because he ran and he talked all this huffering. Oh, Jesus. No, man, I'm ready to go and die with you and all that sort of stuff. And he really meant it. He really meant it. The thing is that Peter thought that there was going to be a fight. He thought that Jesus was going to lead them into a war. And when he found out that Jesus was going to be like, I'm handing myself over to them to be killed. Peter's like, man, I ain't handing myself over to be killed. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die in a knife fight. I'm not just going to hand myself over to die. But he's like, look, man, you need to understand something. I'm going to go fight the battle that you can't. I got to meet death to beat death. Right. Yep. That's the greatest enemy of us all. So with that in mind, I'm like, OK, if this guy's got the kind of onions to be able to do that, then, okay, let's go ahead and get into this fight, man, and make sure. And when I go into this fight, Bill, it's not out of believing in myself, because this whole believing in ourselves narrative has gotten us into a lot of trouble, because we believe in ourselves based on what? Believe in yourself based on what somebody else told you, or our own instincts and stuff like that. We're a lot of people are deceiving themselves, you know, and they're seeking this self-empowerment and stuff like that. I haven't been here forever. I don't have an eternal truth to base what believing in myself is. I want that truth that says, if I'm going to believe in something, it's gotta have some staying power, right? So my general, my king, who's going to lead me into the battle every day, is going to be the Lord himself and say, okay, so now what can we do while we're here in enemy territory? You know, guide me through the field.
Yeah, there's an image that I like so much from one of the Superman movies. I think it was from Man of Steel. Mm. And it's a picture of Superman, and he's walking along, and he's handcuffed, and he's got like two guards or two policemen on either side. He's two heads taller than these guys. But he's walking along, his hands are in front of him, he's got these handcuffs on, and you know, the links on a handcuff are not terribly strong, right? And you look at this figure walking down the hall, handcuffed, with these two small guards on either side, and the impression is just so overwhelming that, you know, who's in control here? Mm-hmm. You know, who's actually in control here? Is there anybody who sees that image who doesn't realize that Superman has to do everything in his power to not break the handcuffs? Because it's nothing to him.
Yes.
It's nothing. Mm-hmm. And that sense of, okay, I'm going to walk down this hallway handcuffed is a sign of that kind of confidence and that kind of calm, mm-hmm. on the part of a character who is above and beyond the turmoils and torments of little people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and just the word says, be still and know that I'm God, right? Be still, know that I'm God. Be of good cheer. When we talk about that, what's that narrative? You got this. You know, that's the Lord's been saying that the whole time. But most importantly, what's important is that you got me. And you know, it just like you said, man, all the power that it took, the restraint, right? And all the power that it took, you know, for the Lord himself to endure what he endured. It was more power for him to show the restraint than it was for him to actually take the licks that he did. Because here's the thing. If there's, you want to talk about a righteous judgment, right? God's like, look, man, I'm going to do what I have done, and I'm going to take it a step further just to show that I've got a solid case against you. My son is going to testify. I'm going to come in the person of my son to testify of the truth. Now, if you kill him, you can't tell me that I don't have a solid case against you. What did he do wrong to you? And that, when we're talking about that confidence, this is a display of the truth and the lengths that God would go to to bring you the truth. I'm going to go this far knowing that you're going to kill my son, but I am beset on bringing the truth to you. I don't want y'all to be deceived. And to have the confidence in us to be like, yeah, we have to have that kind of fortitude in all areas. Yeah. To stand by the truth, to speak the truth, and to do it in any way possible, without, of course, you know, endangering or hurting anybody. But that's what we want to be able to do. And the Lord tells us, I need you to be compelling. I need you to bear that fruit. I need you to do whatever you can. Because I certainly did. I gave it all. I gave it yep. all to bring the truth to you. How willing are you?
Can't touch this. can't even see this. This show is made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com, especially the new members that we brought in a couple months ago to bring in my friend Zoe and talk about things on a level that they're not usually talked about. We're very grateful, of course, to all the members who continue to make these shows possible for everybody to see. And on behalf of Alfonso Rachel, we'll see you next time right here on The Virtue Signal.